I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by Totally Awesome Films, a podcast by one of the longtime fans of Film Sack, John Chung. He's been a fan since 2010. That's Totally Awesome Films, available on Apple Podcasts, Android, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now listen to me, boy. Swear that your father's bloodlust and tyranny died with him. Swear that you will live and rule with mercy. Come to me and learn the once ways. Now swear!
Should have eaten her.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Film Sack. Yeah, that's what it's called, Film Sack. It's episode 453. I'm Scott Johnson, and we're mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Joining me today, Brian, no one is above the code, Dunaway.
No one's above the code, except for dragons. Oh, hi.
Hi.
Come. We have a full day ahead of us, my half-hearted king. We must make haste to the horses. But first, let me grab my falcon and Buzz Malfoy.
Caw!
Oh, that never stops amusing me. Caw! And now that the whole motley crew of assholes are here, let us ride down to the peasant quarry and harass the blind man and any redheads we come across. Isn't that right, Mr. Falcon? Those mean old redheaded girls always trying to break our hearts. You would never do that, would you, Mr. Falcon? No, you wouldn't. Hey, you guys know what I haven't done in a while?
What's that?
I haven't had a good old hand wrestling match with a smelly peasant. Say, we should do that tonight when we get back. In fact, I think I'll double down and hand wrestle two peasants at once. Mm. What's that, Malfoy? Uh-huh. I can so. Want to bet? Back me up, my king. And now that is your movie right there. No CGI needed.
No bad CGI needed. Well done. A nice early call to some of the Harry Potter connections that we'll talk about in the show. Also with us, Randy, CGI stands for crappy graphics inside Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian. All right, boys, we're all done up here with the renovations to your village that you ordered, and I've got a final bill here that includes some adjustments. I just won't go over with you. That's right, adjustments.
Let's see. We heard it.
You know how your village is in a place where people walk around and sometimes run and play, and you know how it's a place where humans do their work all day? Yeah, it didn't have enough spikes about 4.5 feet off the ground. So we installed a bunch more spikes to get it up to code. 4.5 feet is code because that's exactly the right height to catch a child in the face or a grown up in the heart. You'll thank us later. Okay. Oh, actually, we only got one other line item here. Your villagers seem to be absolutely starving for meat. They're crazy for it. So we set up some downward angled mirrors in the village to remind them that they are literally surrounded by pigs. Mm-hmm. There ain't no meat better than pig meat. I don't know what's wrong with you peasants.
Are they kosher?
Thing? Those spikes, by the way, are a world of OSHA violations. All right, finally with us, Brian, your little spiky baby shield ain't going to do jack against a dragon ibbot.
Oh, you say. Okay, Mr. Connery. Hey, we really appreciate you coming in on a Saturday to do some VO work for our movie, Dragonheart. As you know, your character is the dragon, Draco, and you've been pulling Bowen through the forest, making him hit every tree. He jams the saddle that you've been pulling him on onto a tree, which yanks you back. Now, give us a yell that sounds like something a dragon would say when he gets yanked back like that. Okay, yikes. We're going with yikes?
All right. That's what he said.
Okay. We'll go with yikes. Okay. Oh, yes, Mr. Connery, don't worry. We're going to be doing some work on your VO to make sure that it doesn't sound like you're just sitting in a padded booth reading your lines. Do we have somebody for that? No? All right. Okay, never mind. Okay, in this next scene, it's after a long battle with Bowen. You're going to try to eat him. So we need you to read these next few lines like you've got Dennis Quaid in your mouth. Mr. Connery? Mr. Connery? Where's he going? We didn't even get to the giant Lukey. Yeah.
Everything was a snot rocket, too, with that dragon.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah. He's just blowing fire out the nose. In fact, the trivia even goes into that and says, the only time fire exits the dragon is through his nostrils. I'm like, nice trivia there.
And in the trailers for all the sequels, fire comes out of the dragon's mouth. So apparently he was a mutant.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, he was the last one. So I don't know how they came up with anything that was post this. I can understand some prequels.
Sure.
Yeah. You can't pronounce his real dragon name, but it rhymes with nostrils. That's what we know for sure. directed by Rob Cohen. This is Dragonheart, 1998's film. Go ahead.
Amazingly short summary on IMDb. The last dragon and a disillusioned dragon-slaying knight must cooperate to stop an evil king who was given partial immortality.
Yeah, it's pretty succinct. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why this movie, I think that's why this got shopped so well in Hollywood. It's real easy to sum up. It's like, oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Right. Yeah.
Right. They don't need to say, you know, it's the Brady Bunch meets Captain America.
Yeah.
How did this sort of like intellectually or in the imagination of one kid from Wyoming or Montana or whatever, how did this give way to Aragorn? Because like when you try to summarize Aragorn, it's like, what's that about? Okay, so there's a kid. All right, so you're in a universe where magic exists, but it's weird. Magic was weird. And there's this kid, and there's a dragon. And oh my God, I give up. I'm not even good at it. It's ridiculous, Aragorn. You know, like, this is just like nothing. Seriously, this film is nothing.
Does he claim his inspiration came from this? Is this like the thing that got him going or something?
It was one of them.
Okay.
The guy, what's it, Christopher...
Yeah, he's old now, or older. He's in his 30s now.
Yeah, but like, he's old now. You know, he wrote Aragorn in high school, and he was perfectly timed, right? Like, Lord of the Rings films were all coming out, and there was Dragonheart, and he was, you know.
He was primed for it.
This isn't based on something, right? This is...
No. Oh, yes, it's absolutely... Dragonheart is based on
It's based on a book?
Yeah.
Is it a comic? It was written originally. Now, the Dragonheart itself is based on... A lot of legends, of course, but it was written as a script, right? It was written as a script. The original script was converted into a book later because of the screenwriter.
Yeah, it was a novelization of the movie, I thought.
Gotcha. Okay, that's what I was wondering.
But
it was a book first. And...
Yeah, yeah. So the original concept must have been different, but all I know is for sure is here's the mistake. So Rob Cohen's interesting dude. That guy is responsible for two one of the most successful long-running series of all time.
One.
And then the other one is weirdly having a long run, but shouldn't, and that's Dragonheart. So Dragonheart has like four sequels, and they're all on Netflix, and they're all bad and direct-to-video. His other one, of course, is the Fast and the Furious series. He directed the first one, and then that thing took off like crazy and now is like one of the biggest moneymakers in film, action film history. And so... That dude just somehow knew how to do that stuff. I'm surprised XXX doesn't have like five more. I guess it has three or whatever.
They wanted to. It fell into this weird can't get it made situation.
Yeah,
and he ran out of X's because it would have to be like quadruple X and quintuple X.
Yeah. And I don't really. So here's the thing with Rob Cohen. I don't really like his movies, but I think conceptually he has ideas that do make decent franchises or can. Clearly, these are, you know, these are money making efforts, or else why would you do them? And the only example of a movie he did where it was just like standalone and lives forever as a single film for me is Dragon, which is nothing to do with this. It's the Bruce Lee story movie, and that's a great movie. If you've never seen Dragon, yeah, the Bruce Lee story, it's fantastic. It's very, very good. And for all I'm concerned, he peaked there, and then everything else was just like shovelware. It was just like, here you go. Here's a bunch of kind of shit, and good luck to you, sort of, you know. And it's not that's bad. You know, I don't knock him for it. He found a niche in Hollywood that's kind of unique. Like, he's got a weird, it's a weird resume of franchises that seemed not like they would be franchises. So
right. Yeah. If you had told me Fast and the Furious was going to continue on, I would. Matter of fact, I thought it was definitely not going to happen, because by the time, like, what, Tokyo Drift, I was like, yeah, they've totally veered off course. And I'm like,
which
okay,
is
so
right, not even not a true sequel, none of the same characters, right?
Right.
It was like in just set in a whole different place, right? Did it have anybody
it's
else?
Just it's just elsewhere in the timeline.
Right.
Tokyo Drift is the third film, but it belongs between like 6 and 7 or something.
Yeah, because the guy dies, the main character dies in Tokyo Drift, but he's in future.
Is. Okay, so it does have something that connects it to the other movies.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Completely
standalone. Okay. Yeah, for sure. But at the time when it came out, it was definitely like a separate thing. It felt like a thing apart, you know? And I mean, here's my little secret. My favorite Fast and the Furious is Tokyo Drift.
Oh, yeah.
I like Tokyo Drift a lot.
Yeah, the only one I've seen is Tokyo Drift.
And they shouldn't have called it Fast and the Furious because it was so loosely connected. It should have just been something else.
Brian Ibbett, you've never seen any of these Vin Diesel,
The
seen, Rock.
He's seen two, the one we saw together.
Because we watched it here.
Yeah, we watched it there.
But like The Rock is making movies, and you're not seeing them?
I haven't seen Jumanji either. I mean, does that...
You haven't seen
the first one or the second one?
I haven't seen... I saw the original Jumanji. I have not seen any of the new Jumanjis.
Me either.
I haven't either. What do you have against
the new Jumanjis?
Yeah.
You should watch at least the first new Jumanji.
All right.
Okay, so you understand, right, that The Rock is a national treasure?
No, he's great, but that's a little...
I've seen The Rock in other movies. I haven't seen every Rock movie.
I just watched Moana again. He's great in that.
This is so weird.
Yeah?
I'm going to pull up his list here and see how many...
Oh my goodness.
Of his movies I haven't seen, because I bet you there are more that I haven't seen.
Oh my gosh. He's in a movie. He's at least in, what, 2 or 3 movies every year? So, I mean, there's tons of Rock movies I haven't seen.
Oh my God. Look at this list. There's no way.
Yeah.
Well, we've watched at least 3 The Rock movies here. Right? We watched The Rundown. Yeah.
Doom.
This thing, the one we just mentioned that I now forgot. What was it? No. I guess that's it. Maybe that's it. Doom and
did we watch
Rundown?
Doom.
Yeah, we did. Doom.
We definitely watched Doom.
Yes.
Wow, that is how unaffected that movie was.
It totally was.
On me,
I remember more about the game than I do the movie.
If you ask me right now, Brian, did you ever watch the movie Doom? I'd go, no.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen it.
Well, there's a new one on Netflix.
I've seen Get Smart. I haven't seen Race to Witch Mountain. I have not seen The Tooth Fairy, and I have a hard time thinking that anyone's going to talk me to that one.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Okay, so I'm putting that on a list for film.
No, The Tooth Fairy. We can't watch The Tooth Fairy.
Yes, we can.
Which
one? The first one or the second one?
There's second one? Oh, geez. No, we really can't watch that one now. Oh, there's two.
I haven't seen any of the G.I. Joe movies.
Jesus.
Did we watch Pain and Gain for this? I thought we might.
No, we haven't yet. I'm tracking it very closely.
Yeah, not
because
yet.
I saw San Andreas. Does that count?
Yeah, it does. It counts.
I saw San Andreas.
Did you see the one where he's on the skyscraper thing? Was that called Skyscraper?
Yeah, Skyscraper.
Yeah. Was that what it was called?
Wasn't there a movie? I did not see Rampage that same year, though. I did see Skyscraper, but not Rampage.
Have we fleed from a movie so quickly? In the past, we're talking about one.
But we got to, I mean, we got on to such an interesting topic, and like Pain and Gain is a great example. That's a fine performance by The Rock.
Sure.
It's not a bad film.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's a Michael Bay film, but it's not a bad film.
It's one of his better movies. It's actually okay. It's all right.
Yeah, we should watch it. And I always forget that, you know, people aren't out there watching every The Rock movie. I don't know why. I just think I am looking forward to
this year's film adaptation of the Disney ride Jungle Cruise starring.
Of course, because you're a big Disney guy. You'll love that.
I actually am a big Disney guy. I can't wait for the whole scene where he talks about, now we're going to go behind the waterfall and you're going to see the back of water.
Yep.
Because out of all the jokes that they bring in new and old for Jungle Cruise, that's the one that every driver seems to do.
Yeah, all know it. And so if it doesn't come up in that movie, no sale.
Stairway to Heaven of the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I figured out to start recording those guys way too late. And like the second time I ever went on the Jungle Cruise, it was a driver's last day. Mm. And he had been doing it for like 8 years. And I wish I had it recorded because it was absolutely spectacular. This guy went off the rails all the way. He was balls to the wall, Jungle Cruise.
what would the amazing. Disney police do to you if they catch you recording the Jungle Cruise guy?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but I've done it. I've done it several times. And
it's, you get carted off by freaking Woody or somebody.
Is it stealthily like with a... phone in your pocket kind of thing, or do you have your phone out and you're just like,
you know what? The Disney police are overrated. Like, there was a fire at Disneyland last week, and there's all these people. They pull their phones out, they take video of downtown Disney on fire as everyone's evacuating the park.
Oh, geez.
And I'm just like, I'm looking for the Disney police, and they just aren't. They, you know, like, it's the happiest place on earth. They just don't have a big force. Of humanity.
No, they have a big force. You just don't see
it. Yeah, you don't see it. It's just
because the Disney police don't want to be seen.
Exactly. It's just Sheriff Woody, and you got like three other guys.
That's right.
And that's it. That's as good as you get.
Reach for the sky.
Yeah, reach for the sky. There's a snake in my boot, he says.
It's so weird watching the Oscars and what's his name talks.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, yeah. Yeah, like now. Now, when Tom Hanks speaks, like I don't even remember what he was introducing because I couldn't follow the actual words. I could just hear his character.
Right, Dragonheart was nominated for an Oscar.
Wait! Nice, yeah, Bryce,
Dragonheart
nice
was nominated
back.
For an Oscar. True story.
Tell us what it was nominated for.
Visual effects.
No, they screwed up. That's no good.
Hey, this was 1996.
Yeah, but
this was a very brave attempt. At CGI.
Yeah, I agree. Because I agree.
It was on screen a lot.
Well, 22 minutes, but yes. Let me say this though, because back
Jurassic Park.
This is 3 years after Jurassic Park. Now that you bring it up,
right?
And that set a standard that is very hard to equal. So I think that this fell short of that, and as a result, it shouldn't probably be heralded for its.
I think it should, because it was the first time that that CGI character for me was convincing enough, even though I'm definitely aware that it was CGI. Mm. I could momentarily lose myself into the idea that he was actually talking to a dragon.
Yeah, they just made him too puppety to me. That's my biggest problem with it, is it's not so much that the actual dragon silhouette and animations weren't bad. It's just they made him like a puppet, and he would tell him to be quiet by putting his finger over his neck, or he'd lean on his hand like a person, and like too much of that.
That's what these guys were doing. We didn't get really into, I don't know if you remember, but we really were just trying to render things realistically. We didn't really start looking at how things moved as much until later. So these guys were using a lot of puppetry to look at to see movement.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that's probably a reason why it looked very puppety.
Probably. Our dragon tech has gone places.
Oh, we've gone so far since then.
Yeah. There's a much 24 years. Much more controversial award that this movie won, which was the OFTA Best Voiceover Performance of 1996. Was there not a single other film with a voiceover performance? Sir Thomas Sean Connery, that was not the best voiceover performance. He does not deserve an award at the very least.
No, we love that guy. Everyone loves him, and so that's enough to get the notice and to get him on the list, but I don't think this wins. Like, my gosh.
Yeah, this is stunt casting by like any definition. This is probably the top of the list of stunt casting.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many better voiceover actors that could have done that.
Isn't that a hallmark of these sequels too? They all have like, one's Patrick Stewart, one of them is
Ben Kingsley.
Yeah. And one of them's a sequel. The other three are prequels, apparently.
Oh, all right. And there's a lady,
which makes
lady
sense.
Dragon in one of them, and I only know this because I scrubbed ahead in one of them just to see what the hell was going on. And I'm happy to say two things. One, it still feels like one of these, and two, the CGI and the effects have not really improved. They're still pretty bad. But
you know what's funny is we talked about Jurassic Park. The one of the trailers, I can't remember which one it was because I watched two of the three or three of the four sequel trailers, or alternate movie trailers.
Yeah.
And they use what sounds like dinosaur roars in the sequels. Like they finally say, what? Instead of let's make these guys sound like dinosaurs now.
Yeah.
And the idea man behind this, the writer of the screenplay, envisioned adding in things to Sean Connery's voice like that. Mm. So it looks like they move forward there. And oddly, I think Universal had a different idea of how they wanted to make this kind of a kids movie or kid relatable. And that was not in the original screenplay either. It was kind of more dark, but it looks like it just the franchise went into a kid mode. I don't think it would have been a franchise at all if that had been dark. It would have been like a one-off.
This still feels very kid friendly. I'd have no problem.
Oh, this was a
7 or 8 year old kid watch this.
Yeah, but it's PG-13. What's wrong with you?
There's no nudity. There's no cursing.
Yeah, it's pretty mild. It's really mild.
But what about all the dragon hearts you see?
Yeah.
Wait, you don't see a dragon heart.
Yeah, you never
do. He keeps pulling his plate up and going, look at it. And I'm going, I can't see it.
Look under my plate.
Yeah. Something creepy about that. I don't like it. When he's like holding it up.
He's like, why can't I see it?
Yeah, I don't like that.
So my peak was at the new one. There's a fifth Dragonheart film that just came out last week. It's on Netflix. It's kind of the reason we're doing this. Like Dragonheart suddenly became very prominent recently. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, it looks good. I didn't watch the film. I just jumped around and checked out like the visuals, the cinematography.
Yeah.
And I think it looks great. Nowadays, you get out there with these amazing digital camera systems and you have all these computers making depth of field. And I was like, wow, I want to be shot like this. The dragon is Helena Bonham Carter. The dragon looks real, real good.
Which one is
this
one? 25
years later, you know, like it should look good.
Is this Vengeance? Is that the one?
Yes. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. I'll have to check it out. I mean, it's not it doesn't appear to be a Netflix original, but it appears to be.
It was released on Netflix the same day it was released on DVD.
Oh, that's weird. They don't count it as a Netflix original, though. That's weird. I wonder why they wouldn't do that unless they literally didn't have anything to do with it other than the release, but. I mean, when you do direct to video now, aren't we really just saying direct to streaming? Like they're just going to put
it out? Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But I'll check it
out.
It's
funny because, Netflix could just say, you know, or it's a much better term to say, available on streaming as opposed to our new Fargo series is direct to video.
Yeah. And there's some, I'm scrubbing through it right now. There's some action scenes in here that look like. They've learned some things. So,
but you see what I mean about the depth of field, right?
Yeah.
Like it just looks nice. And this 1996 film, Dragonheart, I never really felt like it was a film. And that may be the transfer and my TV and all that stuff. But I just like, it didn't feel real film. Like the very beginning was super epic. Lots of big, long, sweeping shots and so on.
Yeah.
But then later, when we have Dennis Quaid, of all people, holding on to a rope being dragged through branches. It suddenly felt like a Disney TV. What was that? The Disney Channel? It felt like one of those shows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Yikes.
It kind of is one of those. Like, that's my problem with it, is that it's kind of a... I mean, they apply too much of that slapstick. On the one hand, they want us to take it seriously. And by the way, when I play clips later, you guys are going to be blown away by this. But I very early on noticed that Dennis Quaid was affecting a voice that made him sound like Harrison Ford when he's pissed.
Yeah, I didn't like that voice he was trying to. That gravelly voice he's trying. I'm trying to talk gravelly. Yeah. I would talk gravelly if I was a dragon hunter because that's what dragon hunters do.
It's called vocal fry, Brian, and it sucks.
No, it wasn't frying it. He was more like
The Bachelor. I'm fully aware of what vocal fry is.
Yeah, it's more like.
Isn't that Dennis Quaid's normal voice though? It didn't feel like you were sounding any different to me than the the inner space Dennis Quaid.
No, we were all going high. He would go low. Yeah, he and oh no, really? That thing changed all the time. Like he had an accent. Yeah. He was Scottish for a hot second, and then later he kind of English, and then later just Dennis Quaid, and then later more Dennis Quaid, and then eventually just kind of gave it up. He just stopped trying to do that, and I hate that in movies, like the Princess Leia having a British accent thing. It's just super annoying to me. But
Costner's probably the example that everybody seems to point to, the Robin Hood Costner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's, by the way, that is trending. It is the number one trending movie on Netflix right now. It's Robin Hood.
We gotta watch it. Yeah.
Every time I go by, it's like, you gotta watch it. With
Robin Hood or Kevin Costner that made that popular?
I don't know. I just
no. I think that thing was that was a huge hit in the day. Yeah. And I think there's a giant number of people of a certain age who are like, sweet, my favorite movie's on Netflix. And so they're watching it. By the way, I just put in the chat a gif of the latest Dragon
Lady. That's gorgeous.
It's all right, but it's still a little too.
It is all right, and I love it, but I don't like the fact that it's got human like eyes.
That's why I don't like them. Oh. Yeah. I don't like that. I think they need to
give me lizard eyes or goat eyes.
Yeah, anything, the blinking. Human. Oh, that's not right at all. Right. I also think that they don't do a good enough job. I think Sean Connery was excellent. I think he's he's gave him, he did a great job with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but they needed to make sure that he was looking at a picture of what his dragon looked like when he was delivering his lines, because, or they probably didn't have it. They probably, we're going to add that all later, and it's all CGI, so we don't even know what your dragon's going to look like.
Right.
According to trivia, they had
I think he would have delivered his lines a lot more like this if he had seen it, because the dragon barely moves his lips.
Yeah. Instead, he was like, I lost my car keys. He's like doing the full, he was going full Connery, and there was no getting around it.
Exactly.
So we know this isn't a good movie. Okay. I think we can all admit that it is a product of its time, and we've moved a long way since then. And so, but was there joy in it? Did you guys find yourself having fun?
Yeah.
Oh, I totally had fun. I think the best thing about the movie for me is the music. I think the music is fantastic, and it's better than it has any right to be.
Reused in so many trailers down the line.
Yeah, I saw that. And the Olympics even reused it.
Yeah.
Where did this music come from? You remember a movie in the 90s called Dragonheart? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Nobody will recognize it. We can just use
pretty sure it's the same composer he used for the Dragon movie, which also, the Bruce Lee one, which also has is famous for having its music used for tons of trailers, including Forrest Gump and some other stuff.
Well, we're talking about Randy Edelman.
Yeah, that's the guy.
And this person is all over my collection of movie scores. All over. Like, he's really good. Amazing.
Is he still doing stuff today? Still a guy? Okay, cool.
Yes, absolutely. I would say the best in the whole collection is Last of the Mohicans. Mm-hmm, that's just a fantastic score. But this is right up there. So good.
Yeah. Oh, right. That is him that did that. I need to dig into his stuff more. But yeah, the music really stood out. I think some of the cinematography was real good. Just like the shots of the big armies moving across land and that kind of stuff's always looks good to me. There are also, I thought David Thewlis's ridiculous king thing was just ridiculous and amazing. I kind of liked it.
I really, really hated him, the young Einan and the king Einan.
Really
hated him.
Right, here's the thing. This is a film that's not aware of its cast, right? Okay. It was written and you were going to stick with it. And it was like, if they had just stopped a moment and said, let's give this guy a different name. If we're going to have Sean Connery and Dennis Quaid say it over and over and over. Yeah. And it's just like, no, we got to stick with what's on the script, boys.
Yeah, I don't like Einan as a name much either. But Thewlis is, in my mind, can do no wrong anyway. I love him and everything. He's in all sorts of movies.
Yeah.
The shallow end of the pool is where the turds float.
Float.
Did it not kind of strike you that in 1996, David Thewlis was butt ugly?
Like, oh, he's always been ugly. He's an ugly guy.
But I think anytime you
see some films where he looks fine.
Well, yeah, we'll go watch Fargo season 3 and tell me how good he
is. I think if you're a pale person and they throw you on a straight blonde wig looking thing, a little page boy hairstyle. I think just about everybody comes off as asinine and ugly. I don't know.
Yeah, he played that wiener kind of perfectly. And he, kid, he looked just like the kid version.
I was going to say that that poor kid has the unfortunate advantage of looking like a young David Thewlis.
Yeah. Really good point. So I actually think overall the casting was fairly strong, except for the very notable exception of Dennis Quaid. I think he's terrible in this. He's terrible. And I like Dennis Quaid. I like
Can
him
we start with
stuff.
Something he's like actually good in as an actor?
Yes. He's good in season 3 of Goliath. He's amazing in the movie where he plays was it called The Rookie? He played a baseball player that was good enough to get in the big leagues for a while. It was a true story. Great movie, great role. He's got plenty of good stuff. He's out there.
I liked even though it's kind of a smaller role. I liked him in The Day After Tomorrow that we watched right here.
Yes.
Pretty good there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He can do Dennis Quaid is fine. I'm not saying he's great or exceptionally wonderful or anything. He's better than his brother. But he's fine. He's just
than
wrong.
His brother. I swear, in any world, if you ask me if those two guys were related, I would never believe it. Even as long as I have known the information. I'd look at the two and go, it is weird.
They don't look like each other.
They're not related.
But here's the other thing. Like, if you'd have had the trivia says that Liam Neeson was like this close, like a hair away from getting this role. That's the better choice. That's the better choice.
Way better.
Yeah.
Agree.
Here's a fact. The film that made Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid exists in our imagination as a longtime successful actor because of the film Enemy Mine. And that does not hold up. Now in 1980s.
Of course not.
We're like, oh wow, Enemy Mine, it's so great. But I'm telling you,
it's not great, but it is. I still think it has something to say. I agree.
Yeah, it's a great concept, and that movie ought to be remade. The truth is, it's basically a Star Trek episode in movie form.
It's Jalad and Tanagra and all that.
Yeah, like it's definitely one of those like, hey, what about?
What, I watched that the other day.
When the walls fell. What if we were able to get past our differences? And what's more different than a spaceman from U.S. or from Earth and Earth. A weird alien who's played by Louis Gossett Jr.
Yeah, Louis Gossett Jr.
So it has something to say, but it doesn't hold up in terms of like, you know, would I want to watch that today? There are plenty of better uses of that
fact.
Story.
Yeah. Fact. Here, I'm gonna do
all right. All right. Fact. Go.
Jaws 3D. Mike Brody, best role he ever did.
I forgot he was in Jaws 3D.
His purpose in life is a dog's purpose right now, and we have that and a dog's journey, and all he has to do is just play a guy. Mm-hmm. Like it's the simplest thing, and he's just not he's good at it. I'm sorry.
I think he's good at playing just the guy. I think he's good at that. I think he's really good at playing a dad. I think he does. He looks concerned. He always looks concerned.
He's like he just smelled something, and it might be coming from the bathroom, but it might not.
I'll tell you what he smelled in this movie. Everybody. I can't imagine living during these times.
Yeah.
I am just too, you know, modern hygiene.
Peasants.
Right.
Anybody see that?
Everything stunk.
He's very busy. He's got like 100 things in production, but he was in that Fortitude series. That was good. I watched some of that.
What was the movie with the radio that he was contacting his frequency?
That was a good.
I still have a real soft spot for Interspace. You know him and
yeah,
Martin
I
Short
do.
And,
I love yeah. that. Wish that would be on here.
Oh yeah, Interspace is great. I love Interspace. Vegas. Do you remember the TV show? It was very short lived. This had him as the sheriff, and it was kind of going for a Justified vibe, but it was set in old Vegas, like 1950s Vegas. And he was the cop. He was the sheriff there. And Vegas is changing rapidly. And there was a fake. I love fake casinos. There's a fake casino called something. But it was run by Michael Chiklis. So this is post The Shield. And he was just like great, like mobster guy.
Like Bugsy Malone kind of thing.
Yeah. So was, this is like 2012, 2013.
This is not spelled with a dollar sign. Right?
No. But it had potential, man. It was cool. And it just didn't, it just didn't pick up for people. But I liked that a lot.
Tell you who else I loved in this movie. And I really love Dina Meyer. We haven't seen her on here, I don't believe, since we.
Yeah, she's great.
Starship Troopers, right?
I think so. Yeah.
And she seems like the prototype for what would go on to be Mirida for Brave. It just felt like that to me. And maybe that's just
a little bit
oversimplifying it.
Well, I mean, she's that archetype, right? You're right.
She's a tropotype is what
she is. A tropotype,
It was frustrating. This movie really frustrated me with this Kara character because she just
really
like, yes, like it, she was just initially she was the girl in the village, and then she was the daughter of the guy who killed the king. And it's like that's all she was. She should have just said, "I am the daughter of the guy who killed the king." And then she takes a bunch of steps striding toward David Thewlis on a horse, and it's like, oh, here we go. She's going to say something. And then she says something, and it's like so wooden and stilted.
I think in the original screenplay, which I want to go read, I just like to imagine the way that characters were developed in the original screenplay, that I felt like it was always something deeper there that wasn't mentioned in the movie because it was stripped away. Because I think women were invisible at this time, so they weren't listened to. They were ignored. And as well, the fact that she basically broke the king's heart physically, and then later in the story I feel like there would have been a romantic tale where she breaks his heart again, and she's always got the king's heart, so she's almost in a fated or magical purpose that she's like always there.
I get
and
it.
I think it reflected a little bit, but not, I don't think it reflected as much as it probably.
And like I say, like so many of these things really suffer because we've seen Game of Thrones since then, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen better stories, better tellings of similar stories. But like when Aenon goes to rape Kara, I'm just like, come on, movie. Give me like make Aenon have a little bit of a brain. Make him try to charm her and she hates it. No, don't just like go straight to throwing her down and getting on top of her in a bed. It was just
they filmed every scene of King Aenon in his bedroom, his boudoir. They filmed everything that you saw in the movie all in like a 20-minute span. You know, they just kept bringing in different characters because David Thewlis never got into any kind of groove in that. It just felt like they were just, let's film it. Let's get it. We got three scenes. We got to do with this. Let's just get them filmed and get out of here.
We only got the barn for the afternoon. The owners are kicking us out. Exactly. Right. Yeah, I can totally see that.
The only thing tropier than her being the damsel in distress trope is her being the emergent badass trope. It's like, you have to line those up, really? I don't know.
I'm not going to say it's an amazing performance or that this is the right, treatment of the character or anything, but I like her just in general. And I don't know. Yeah. I felt like she was
pissed off enough in the movie for where she would be at if this was really happening. And, but also she never went so far off the rails that you weren't on her side. I always feel like I was on her side. So that's kind of a tough balance.
And there is one trope that she's made of that I loved, and that's called Cassandra Truth.
Yeah.
And that's when the scoundrel shows up in town and she's like, no, he's actually trying to trick you. And he has all the townspeople on his side. I love that trope. You can always use it.
Yeah. Where do all the townspeople get heads of lettuce? Like, they look like they're starving, and
don't
like,
look at them.
Heads of lettuce just flying all over when she's trying to do.
Don't look too hard at the villagers in the background, because you will be disappointed in everything.
Is there a guy polo shirt and khakis back there?
No, it's not that. It's just that they have like this backdrop of peasants, and it's like, okay, they've got pitchforks, and it's like, no, they don't. They got like a stick that's been shaved, and don't look at their work either. Don't look at them combing the wheat. don't look at, if you look even for half a second, the whole thing is broken. It's like, no,
I just want to take another minute on this Cassandra Truth trope, because it's in other movies and I love it so much. And it's like, the example is like, Ferris Bueller's sister, right? She's trying to convince everybody that Ferris Bueller is actually a scoundrel, and no one believes her.
Yeah,
and she's like so frustrated. I love this. I love it.
Yeah, it was, again, there's moments, right? You're like, hey, this is a cool fantasy idea you just did there. Oh, now you're acting like you're in a freaking vaudeville show. What are you doing over
there?
I'll tell you who is kind of, I wouldn't say eating up the scenery, but I could never take my eyes off Brian Thompson. And that's the reason why
you never can. It doesn't matter what he's in. He's just like,
remind me who Brian Thompson is in this.
This weird.
He's the one who hand wrestles. He's Brock.
Yeah.
Brock. Yeah. Get him, Brock.
He has these bizarre things on his cheeks that look like scars.
Yeah, he's so weird looking. He's weird. That dude.
Okay, yeah, but he's cool. I kept looking at him because I know, with the big beard, it's like, oh, is that the guy who is, he's always some villain. I can't remember what we've seen him in that. like a very, very film sacky kind of film.
He was 80s. He was Shao Kahn in Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which we watched.
Oh, no. You know what is the X-Files?
He was the episode alien of X-Files.
He chased after Mulder for a long time. He was an alien bounty hunter.
Right.
And those cheeks and the scars on his cheeks. Totally.
You can't forget he was Luke in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if you guys watched.
Oh, yeah.
Watched the first season of that.
Yeah. We're going to mention him again around Trek Connections, but he's one of the many, many people now that have been both in a Star Trek series and in the Orville.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, mm-hmm. Really?
Huh. And a movie.
He was one of the punks in Terminator at the beginning that Arnold wants to take their clothes. Really?
You know, Scott said that Dennis Quaid was the worst in this film. I would like the pleasure of declaring the best in this film, and that is Pete Postlethwaite.
Oh yeah,
that guy never misses. He's always got it. He knows his character perfectly. He is his character perfectly.
I miss that guy.
He also kind of looks like Kramer's dad.
Yeah, a little bit.
Michael Richards' dad.
He also, if you close your eyes, you swear Brian Cox is talking. He's got Brian Cox's voice.
Oh, he totally has Brian Cox's voice. When you were playing that clip at the beginning, the narration, I was like, wow. Sound a little bit like Brian Cox.
Brian Cox talking. That. It's nuts. But he's great.
You know, he was in The Lost World, Jurassic Park. I wonder if it's like, well, this is a step up.
I mean, he's
Pete Postlethwaite was?
He was. But don't worry about that guy. He's been nominated multiple times for Oscars. He was in huge.
Name of the Father was.
Yeah. What was the, he was.
Kobayashi.
Kobayashi.
That was the name that got made up for him in The Usual Suspects.
Not Kobayashi.
Wasn't it Kobayashi?
No, it was. Wait, The Usual Suspects. What do you call?
Yeah, it was the guy that that gave them their task.
Oh, Kobayashi, right? But he claimed he was the other guy the whole time, and then until they
Kaiser Soze.
That's what was thrown.
He never claimed to be Kaiser Soze.
I thought he wasn't early on. No. They were like, "I'm Kaiser Soze," and then they figured out.
So he came into the pool room and said, "I represent a man named Kaiser Soze." And four of the guys go. Ooh.
Yeah.
we're gonna see Pete Postlethwaite again next week, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, he's in Inception. It's exciting.
I just think
pronounced Postlethwaite. Is it Postlethwaite?
I don't care. That's the thing.
I do.
Well, how does that affect
we're gonna do this on every episode of Film Tech from now on. I'm going to say something, you're going to question the pronunciation, and I'm going to say I don't care.
It's going to be one of our new tropes on Film Tech. I love it.
He was amazing, and Jason Isaacs was widely underused.
Oh my gosh, Isaacs, he's barely in this.
That's how I say that.
He was barely in this, dude.
Jason. It's pronounced Jason, isn't it?
Is it Jason? He was barely in this movie, like barely in it, like hardly in it. And that kind of bummed me out because I like him and lots of things. And I guess maybe things hadn't really popped for him yet, but. This was just a weenie roll. There was nothing going on here.
Weenie roll.
Boy, you used both things popped for him and weenie roll, and he's walking around for part of
it. Oh, I love a good weenie roll.
I love weenie rolls.
Yeah, they're just so delicious. Good. Pig in a blanket. So Jason Isaacs, check this out. This is a funny little thing, though. Jason Isaacs plays a character in here called Lord Felton, and what's funny is the actor Tom Felton, who plays his son in the Harry Potter books, is named Tom Felton, so he's got the same last name as the character he plays here.
And his son is named Draco.
Right. Yeah, oh, right. Yeah. I'm not even thinking about that. Good point. So,
nothing made me laugh more than when Brian Thompson Brock, you know, just buzzed Jason Isaacs with that hawk, because I just felt like that was not scripted.
Yeah.
I feel like Brian Thompson was just like, look at this little weenie. Let me.
He's still with us, right? Brian Thompson. Let's see. He's still around, still doing stuff. He was in Macbeth here recently.
He's 10 years older than us.
Yeah.
Scott.
But 10 years 16. Older.
How's he still alive?
Yeah. How's that even possible? Oh, he's in the Expendables. We saw him in the Expendables.
Was he 102?
Cobra. He's in Cobra. We should watch Cobra. We've not done that.
Isn't there a new Buffy the Vampire Slayer reboot or something coming? Did I dream that?
You dreamt that. It's in comic form. I don't think there's a new Buffy.
He was big here in Denver at the Colorado, like doing work with the Colorado Shakespeare Festival.
Oh, cool. He seems very Shakespearean.
Yeah.
Kind of does, yeah.
You should go up to him, Brian, and shake his weird hand. I don't know why it would be weird.
Shake his weird hand. That's because he was hand wrestling all those peasants, so his hands are weird.
I just assume he has really odd hands. Is that a weird thing to assume? So,
weird stuff in his bio. Brian says that no gym can claim him as a member and that his physique is kept honed by years of windsurfing and kitesurfing.
Wow. Love that.
Okay. No gym can claim me as a member.
You can't claim me, Jim. Who are you, Vasa? F you. I'm not, I don't belong to you. That's a weird thing to say, especially just say he's an avid windsurfer. Why do you have to say no?
Brian verifies his well-rounded nature with a resume that lists such special skills as martial arts, piano, and sushi rolling. I know about sushi rolling. How do you roll a piano?
Just very carefully. Just gotta be careful. He's cool. I like seeing that dude and stuff. Cool. So why not have him in there? He's weird looking, and I like weird looking character actors. So sign me up. Mm-hmm. Sean Connery's a good call for doing this. Like, this is the right casting, but yeah. I just don't think Brian, you alluded to in your intro about how he's just sounds like he's in a crappy room.
That's the thing that takes me out every time he speaks. I love you love hearing Sean Connery speak, but every time he speaks, it just sounds like he's in a padded VO booth, and there's no like, all right, well, this time it's going to be coming from off screen, so it needs to be sounding different, or he's up in the sky this time, so it always just sounds like he's right next to Dennis Quaid's ear going, you should probably throw the arrow at them.
And I think you nailed it with the yikes part, because that's right. I kind of stopped because I'm like,
man. I sure why, hope
how
that,
would you? Yeah, that's when you realized
that audio.
I did.
Yeah, that's when you realized he had no idea what was going on screen. Yeah. No idea.
No, he didn't know. And it's fine, you know, like whatever. That's not his fault. I think
they didn't describe it in a way that would probably give him the
tools he needed. But anyway, there's an interesting trivia here thing. It says more than 200 photos were taken of Sir Sean Connery with a variety of facial expressions, which among the footage of his voice recording were used to make Draco bear a stronger resemblance to him. I don't think it looks like Sean Connery at all, but it's fine. Mission not accomplished, I guess.
This is pretty early on in our great experiment, right? So, I mean, with making something look like you thought it would look.
That's
with
true.
CGI.
By the way, it wouldn't be until 2007 that Jason Isaacs and David Thewlis would finally break ranks and fight each other in Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Oh, right.
Which, by the way, seems crazy to say that was 2007. That seems way not right.
Wow.
Man, that's weird.
I tell you, time passes, and this is totally not related, but I was watching a football game from 2008 the other day on ESPN Classics.
Well done.
And I'm like, 2008? I'm like, that was a minute ago. And the guys were talking on there, announcer guys were talking, and they said, oh, look at the receiver he really had that ball right in the breadbasket. And I'm like, was this filmed in 1900? And I'm like, 2008?
Yeah. They've taken off their leather helmets, and they're going down the field.
Yeah, that's right. Have you ever seen sports like this before? Like, that sounds really old to hear breadbasket in that context.
Time, slow down, baby. Hold up.
Brian.
That cat was the cat's pajamas.
There you go. Brian said earlier, Dunaway said something about how long the dragon was on screen. It was exactly 23 minutes total.
Yeah, which is an amazingly long time for CGI that was so, I mean, even in the past before CGI did we get to see a creature on screen that much? Usually only in like Jim Henson movies.
Especially when it started out being all cagey and saving money. I actually wrote down at the beginning, are we ever going to actually see the dragon? Because I thought, what if this movie does that thing where you never actually see the dragon?
Right.
That could be a trope I could get behind. But and then it started showing me the dragon. I'm like, no,
too much dragon.
Go back to being cagey.
Maybe you shouldn't show us this.
It was absolutely. It was way more effective. I could
wait until it's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was actually way more effective because I was really enjoying the fights behind the hill, beyond the hill, just smoke flying up and dust and dirt just flying up in the air. That was a fun fight for me.
We do need a trope alert on that thing, Scott.
Okay, I got it right here.
I don't know what it's called, but it's when there's a ruckus and you shake some trees and that's all you see, or you throw some dust up from behind a building. Yeah, and that's what you see of the ruckus.
It's like when you throw the Wile E. Coyote falls way, way, way down in the canyon, then all you get is a little poof of smoke down there. It's the same idea.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, King Kong, when we first saw King Kong, the 70s version, at least when I first saw it, I mean, the most effective my imagination was most affected by the trees. They just had, you know, trees rustling. I'm like, oh my God, it must be something huge coming through there if it's able to rustle trees of that size.
You know what it reminds me of? That's a great comparison and or a great example, because what it reminds me of is I watched that, and then also more recently I saw the Peter Jackson one, which I like a lot, but it's, you know, it's a little overlong and it has some problems, but I like it. Anyway, when you watch the one from the 70s or even the one from the 30s, although that was, they showed a lot more creature because, again, it's more like a puppet because it's stop motion. But anyway, the difference between the 70s and the new one is, you're right, a lot of off-scene stuff, a lot of things happening that you can't see. Your imagination's filling in the blanks. And then in the Peter Jackson one, it's like, nope, full-on fighting a dinosaur, head-to-head, let's go. You're going to see all of it. And to me, that's like, you know, it's like the picture of a pretty girl with, like, just a little strap hanging down. And then, or full on porn. Here's the porn.
We're not holding look anything at my back. Clam.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's a big
look
difference.
At my clam. Oh my That's gosh, all. That really escalated there. I didn't see that coming. Look at my clam.
But you know, so the, I did, the thing. Go ahead, Randy.
I did find a trope on TV Tropes that fits this, and I love the name of it. It's called. It's called Coconut Superpowers.
Yeah.
Oh. So that's probably got something to do with Monty Python using coconuts, right? To make,
oh,
make
probably. It seem like
it. Yeah. But the overall point of the trope is that if you don't have the ability to show a dragon flying overhead, you point the camera the opposite direction at the ground and you show the shadow of a dragon. Uh-huh. And I just think it's really funny to think about how this film was all in on this dragon, except the first 10 minutes. Like, no, we're not going to.
Right, yeah.
How did you guys, this is important to me because it is something that I enjoy a lot of. How did you guys watch this film? Was it computer, TV?
Computer, because I got a
big screen.
Just a little computer stuff.
TV for me, big screen TV.
Yeah, I have a huge television in a room too small for it.
Mm. Right, okay. So do you guys have like a sound system? Fairly decent sound system.
Also, yes.
Headphones.
Okay, excellent. That's the way. That's the way.
Room too small for them.
Right, exactly. That's the way I experienced this as well. And I knew I would have to go to that level because I was just going to watch it on my computer. But I said, no, this film was the 90s, and it was really focused. There was a real big focus on DTS for this movie. And actually, the DVD I have has the DTS version, and it sounds fantastic. And that is one thing that really enhances a movie. Where you've got that off-screen struggle, because you see just a few visual things, but then you hear all these amazing sound effects and DTS, and your imagination is just able just to escalate, to a place. And so I really enjoyed that part of Dragonheart. Yeah. But you can't translate that now with the way people view movies. I mean, a lot of people are probably watching this on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so, that's the other thing is, you know, we did live in a time where consumption habits are so different that I wonder. If they're getting all of that. I mean, I think I wear headphones for this stuff. And so whenever I'm doing one, mm-hmm. I get a pretty good idea of how that goes and how the transfer went or how a remaster sounds versus an old one or whatever.
I bet the music sounded amazing.
It really did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was very good. Like none of that stuff stuck out as a problem. And I guess by 96, we were pretty good at it. You know, sound work was, we were way ahead of where we were just 10 years before that. But, and that's crazy to think like, this is only 10 years after Dennis Quaid was in like Dream Hacker or whatever the hell that was called. Dreamscape. Yeah.
Dream Hacker.
Yeah. I can remember the name of it.
One of our earliest film sack movies, right?
Right. And that seems like an eternity before he would be in this. It's just 10 years. It's no big deal. That's just so weird to me. But anyway, is anyone else going to watch this new one? I kind of am tempted.
The new Dragonheart?
Yeah.
I will.
Do we want to? Do we want to make it a an assignment?
Like, do we want to make it mandatory?
Yeah.
I mean, we could. We haven't done that in a while. We don't have to do it back to back. Like Brian was saying the other day, these can be done, but back to back is probably a bad idea. But like if we did a month it from now, we did that next or that newest one, just see where this has all come. I
think it would be a good idea because then it would be recent enough that we'd be able to kind of compare and contrast the two. Is this another sequel or is it a reboot prequel. Or is it it's a prequel?
Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Brandy, I think you said prequel.
I did not. I just scrubbed around with the sound off. I have no idea.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Were there dragons?
2020. Here we go. Dragonheart Vengeance is a prequel. a third prequel, Dragonheart Vengeance.
Oh, they're all prequels then, except for
where they all where prequels they... except for Dragonheart: A New Beginning.
What are they avenging though?
I mean,
I don't know.
That's a really good question.
This is for the stars. So,
I do see why it's called Vengeance. It's about a boy whose family is killed by marauders, and so he approaches a dragon to help him get revenge.
Pardon me, Mr. Dragon.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like the plot of a dumb movie.
So I would way rather watch the fourth one because it's got Patrick Stewart's voice, and I just want to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
But we got Helena Bonham Carter. We have Princess Margaret in this one.
Oh, I hear you.
Oh, the queen's sister.
I keep forgetting she's the...
And another...
I didn't know that was Edith from All in the Family.
And another Harry Potter alum.
Yeah, that's right. She's... I don't remember her name. Ah, shoot, it's going to drive me crazy that I can't think of her name. But yeah, she's in there.
Creaky face, Bella Strange.
Yeah, Bellastrange.
Bellatrix Lestrange.
Lestrange. Randy, is it Lestrange or Lestrange?
Lestrange.
You're supposed to say, I don't care.
Or Bellatrix.
You're supposed to say, I don't care.
All my Harry Potter pronunciations are going to come from Jim Dale, who
Viagra.
Oh, I'm sorry, Viagra.
Okay, there's that too.
Yeah,
there's Viagra.
I love Jim Dale. Anyway,
so the other thing I wanted to bring up on the like all these fantasy tropes is the Monty Python-esque group of people all running carrying long sticks.
Yeah.
You can't make that look badass.
It
always looks slapsticky.
The way you do it is don't do the group shot. You have to like get the camera up in their faces and look at their fear and their rage and their anger and their torches and the violence of the actual in the middle of the run. You can't show a group run. You're right. It's bad.
Is there a trope called like don't look forward, don't look to the sides? Because that's what ruined this movie for you. Don't do it.
Don't look to the sides. Wait, is that a thing?
Yeah, stay centered.
Oh, stay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Wait, how come? But in this case, why? Who's staying centered?
Oh, you gotta keep your eyes on the dragon.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
If you look to the left or the right, you're like, oh no.
My biggest concern was that it appeared to me that this every village that was portrayed in this movie was made of straw and was very flammable.
Well, which you know, I guess is like is
it just always
I'm like, were
like
they
going back to the same village?
it was three different villages. And at first I was confused. I was like, wait, is this the same village? And I'm like, who are these people? How do they not know each other?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this, a different village? How many villages are there? And
well, that's why one of them has spikes on all the posts, and one of them has a bunch of pigs for no reason. It's a bunch of pigs, so many pigs.
Yeah,
and like they give you clues.
Well, yeah, they give you clues. They do give you clues, but they're like I said, I guess maybe because I was trying to keep my eyes centered. It's like over here, buddy.
Right. Well, it's a movie, man. I don't know.
It's hard. It's also hard to watch Ghost Rider and Dragonheart back to back. Like I'm like, can we please watch a movie that doesn't have bad CGI?
We might be able to find something. Well, see, next week our film has got great CGI.
How
so
dare you say that Ghost Rider didn't have good CGI?
It has adequate CGI, and in a couple of cases, it really does work. Like there are parts of that movie where you're like, oh, okay, the way that motorcycle took off down the road and left a trail of fire, that's badass. But there were moments where that skull just looked like shit. Yes.
Could we for a minute imagine Sean Connery doing the VO work whenever Johnny Blaze turned into Ghost Rider?
Yes. Listen here.
Into my eyes.
I'm going to get vengeance. Vengeance.
Feel my penance stare.
I love that. All right. One other thing I wrote here was this movie is basically a giant voodoo doll movie. And I don't like the voodoo doll trope where you poke one thing and someone else hurts. Sure. That's all this was.
I don't know. I mean, I think in some, we're in the middle of His Dark Materials, which has a little bit of that with the people, and everybody has a daemon, but spelled daemon, pronounced demon.
Yeah.
That when you do something to them, they feel it, and vice versa.
Yeah.
I think it's a twinsy trope.
Like Indiana Jones and the kid in the cave.
Kid in the Cave. Oh, Temple of Doom?
Two, yeah. Temple of Doom. Couldn't remember the second movie's
Indiana
name.
Indiana Jones and the Kid in the Cave. That's amazing.
It's all dark.
They had a whole voodoo doll thing where...
Oh, yeah, right. I hate that there, too.
Stabbing Indiana Jones' voodoo doll, and he's feeling it.
I don't like that scene. But
so I guess this is what we're going to see when we watch the Jackie Chan film Twin Dragons, right?
Oh, is this the new... wait, what's that?
It's Twin Dragons?
Yeah, I don't know what Twin Dragons is.
Oh, yeah, Jackie Chan plays two separated twins. Oh,
and are they joined at the heart? Like, one feels something, the other one feels it?
Yeah, there's kind of that. Yeah, the shared soul trope. I don't know what the trope's called.
Great.
I think the Dark Crystal is the best example of this trope, right? Like, you have whole people, lots of them, all connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Sure. Yeah, and I think they probably do that. I don't hold to it much.
No. This is one of the reasons you hate Age of Ultron so much. Because Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch have this link, right?
Yeah, I don't like that. I guess I don't like it because they're too loose with the rules. It's like haunted house movies. I always complain about these, but the rules are too loose. Like, you got to stick to your rules. You got to lock it down. And I don't think that shared soul, shared heart, shared whatever, or when you pinch me, I feel it. That stuff is too fruity with the rules. You got to like lock it in and give me something I can like hold on to.
Fruity with the rules.
Because it changes throughout the thing. Like, for example, here's an example. When the dragon had to take a giant dragon shit, did the king go, "Oh my God, I should take a poo"? Like,
why is my colon on fire?
Right.
How far does the link go? Is it only a certain pain threshold that you feel it?
See, it's too arbitrary, and I just don't trust it when filmmakers do that. I just know they're dinking with me. So don't do that anymore, everybody. No more of those.
Yeah, stop dinking with me.
Yeah.
Like, the most ridiculous thing in the whole movie for me is when they pretend that, Dennis Quaid is killing the dragon. The dragon dives into water, and the water's only 6 inches deep. Should have killed this kills the dragon. You actually see his neck break and so on. You're just like, oh wow, he's dead. Yeah. That should have also been paired up with a scene of the horribly named boy king hurting really, really bad in the neck.
Yeah, exactly. All of that stuff. Anytime he biffed it, fell, went in the water, and was under there for too long, the king should be going, "Oh, I can't breathe!" Blah, 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 blah. Like, come on.
I thought it only affected, right? At first, I thought it only affected the heart. That's what I kept thinking. I'm like, oh, it's only chest wounds. Anything that like impacts the heart.
Well, then they should lock that down more and make it
right.
More clear.
They should have. I agree with you. Yeah. We're on the same team.
Yeah, we are on the same team. Johnson,
Johnson away.
Yeah. That's how it goes. John's away. All right. We are going to play some clips
Can we talk about do we need to say anything about the ending? The exploding into stars?
Do we really? Do we need to say
anything like that?
I feel like we're begging Scott to play the trope alert, but that is really tropey.
Yeah, it's still tropey. And I don't mind it when it's like, E.T. ends with the ship flying off into space. That's cool. Right. That's where ships go, right? But when somebody dies and they... You do the full Yoda thing where they just fade out, and now there's in this case, there's a shape of the dragon in the sky, because that's how this... F off. That's
how lore works.
Yeah.
Don't read any mythology, Scott. Jeez, you'll be pissed.
It's too easy, is what I'm saying.
It's too easy. Well, he'll always still be with us because he's in the sky as stars.
Yeah, I like to think they all breathed a little bit of him in them, and now they have the little dragon in all of us because we all breathed
them
in.
What I usually see about these kind of movies is I try to think of who the narrator was supposed to be. This movie got so diluted, I believe, from the original idea that I believe originally it was supposed to be, narrated in prose and supposed to be very fancy. Gilbert of Glockenspur was supposed to give us a fantasy type story that really just wasn't true.
Right.
But, that was supposed to be romantic.
Yeah. And I do, by the way, like the concept that there were dragons. And it was, right around Arthurian lore, and that's kind of...
I forgot about the Arthur.
Yeah, that stuff. So they're trying to make this connection that, this is real old England, old Europe, whatever. But then the last dragon dies, and all we have left is this freaking star pattern in the sky. Right. I like that generally.
Well, until the sequel.
Except they're all prequels, right? So they don't even...
One sequel, three prequels.
Oh, okay. Because
we found one more dragon. Oh, he's dead now too. Okay, let's go back to the before the last dragon.
Yeah. I wish they wouldn't have called this movie Old Code, so I could have been like excited every time they said it, because they said Old Code.
Oh, I thought you said Old Chode.
Old Chode. They should have said Old. That should have been the title of all movies.
Yeah,
Old Chode One, Two, and Three.
Yeah, Dragon, Dragonheart Three. Old Chode.
Dragon Chode.
Dragon Chode. Dude, nobody wants to see a dragon's taint, is all I'm saying. And we saw it a few times.
Or his heart, apparently.
Yeah, or his heart. But we saw his taint a few times in this movie, and I was uncomfortable. All right.
I wasn't even sure what he grabbed Quaid with that one time when he crotch hit Quaid.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what part of the dragon that was, because it was
It just looked like a random tentacle.
It did. I was like, where did he get a tentacle from?
Yep. That's weird. I got good news for you. I captured a clip of him getting hit in the nuts. So we'll share that shortly.
Got to tell you, he can't attack from behind because he's got cleave.
That's right. He's got cleave. Yep. Not cleavage. Cleave.
Razor tail. Razor tail tip thing.
You guys like movies, or else why would you be listening to this show, right? Well, I got some good news for you. There's another great show you can check out. It was maybe even inspired a little bit by us. That's Totally Awesome Films. It's a podcast by a longtime fan of FilmSec. John Chung. Been there since 2010. That's a long time to be listening to us. Tell me, I can tell you that. I mean, that's only a year after we started. It's crazy. He was so inspired by the show that in 2013, which is now his own, that's long running too, started his own show. He calls it Totally Awesome Films. Each week, John picks a movie, gives his review of the film, and then explains all the obscure references and Easter eggs that you may have missed on your first viewing of the film. We barely touch on that stuff. I'm going to have to check this out, because I want to know more. You'll learn the story of how a movie got made, plus cool behind-the-scenes trivia, stuff you never realized you needed to know. After listening to his podcast, you'll definitely want to watch the movie again. The podcast is Totally Awesome Films, available on Apple Podcasts, Android, Stitcher, or wherever you might get your podcasts. That's Totally Awesome Films. Go check those guys out. You're going to love it. Time for clips. Let us do clips. Here are some clips. I'll begin with this one. He sounds just like Harrison Ford to me. Here it is.
Mind if I sit down? I don't have your energy.
He just sounds like Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Now I hear
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a definition of vocal fry, man.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's another Harrison Ford moment.
That dragon belongs in a museum, Dad.
Yeah, Dad. All right. Here's another one.
I'm here, Aiden.
This sounds like him saying, Marion, close your eyes, Marion.
I'm here, Aiden.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. Here, what? Something with the king.
I'm here, my king.
Oh, that was shitty. He says it. See, earlier on, he was way more Shakespearean. Like, my king, I regret my distrust of the river. Like, he was really going for that. And then later, he was just Dennis Quaid, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. Early on, you're playing a real character, and now you're Dennis Quaid. Nice work. All right, here's the Dragon Slayer's widow.
Are the stars shining tonight?
No bright souls glitter in this darkness.
Aeslyn, daughter of the Celts.
Whose people loved your kind and called you friend.
The king's son. Cruel and full of trickery. Is this why you've come, Dragon Slayer's wife?
Dragon Slayer's widow.
It's just so melodramatic.
Correction. Dragon Slayer's widow.
Yeah.
Dragon Slayer's ex-wife.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, here, now we finally get the answer to the question, who must swear?
The boy must swear.
Piece of shit!
Okay, he's dead it then.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah, the boy must swear.
See? Yeah, because he swore.
He swore there at the end.
Swear it.
Actually, that's the guy, that's Todd from Terminator 2, when he was talking about John Connor, he called him a piece of shit. Anyway, what's this for?
I serve the father only for the sake of the son.
Bleh, okay. All right, Batman. Good job there, Betty. All right. Here's him getting all pissed.
You tricked me, dragon!
All right. You got tricked.
You tricked me.
Yep. Here's the accent coming and going.
You can keep your gratitude. I'll take the gold. Yours or the king's.
He's like, oh, now I'm starting to talk like this a little bit. Get a little Irish.
Yours are the king's. Yeah. Have you seen me pot of gold? I lost it.
It's not good. All right. Here's how you want your frozen food. All right. Here you go.
If you do not be quiet,
You and I should be the only things that are cold and hard around here.
Cold and hard.
Oh, gross. Ooh, wow, uh-huh. Him at the end of that clip.
Yeah.
Just imagine if all four of us had committed to doing this entire episode talking like this.
Yes. I'm Dennis Quaid. You know me from Innerspace. Dream Quest.
Or perhaps you don't.
Or maybe you don't.
I wrote straight up bad in this. I think I'm still talking about him, so here's this.
Oh, don't flatter yourself. It's not the profit. It's the pleasure.
What the frick? That is so bad, dude.
How did this? I already didn't like the film, and it's getting so much worse.
Everything
we hear.
Yeah, he's really bad in it. All right, here's the yikes moment. I did capture it. The dragon says yikes.
Yikes!
It's so stupid.
Yikes!
Nobody ever says yikes.
Nope.
Especially not in a freaking dragon movie in the Middle Ages. I'm sorry.
Well, let me rephrase that. Nobody ever says it as a reaction to something, like a knee-jerk reaction to something. They always look at something and say, yikes.
Yeah,
Dennis, wow, that was a real racist comment. Yikes.
Yeah.
It's David Spade in Tommy Boy. Right. That's when you say yikes.
Yikes.
Yes. It's a cringe.
Yeah, it's a cringe yikes. Yeah, no one ever says it without that irony in it. But this guy.
Yikes!
That's on par with me, or that to me, that's on par with Chewbacca doing the Tarzan yell in the third Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah.
Hate that. Oh, my gosh, I hate that. All right. Famous line. This is one of Connery, in every movie he's in, he has at least one line that goes on forever, and everyone hears it, and they know it's Sean Connery. And this is one of those.
I am the last one.
You hear that all the time. In fact, some people will sometimes say, oh,
there can only be one. So.
Yeah, right. From
and he's the last
Highlander. They think it's a Highlander line, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. It's from this dumb shit. All right. Here's Dennis Quaid.
This movie's went from, it's okay, to this dumb shit.
Yeah, it is getting worse. All right, here's Dennis Quaid getting hit in the nuts. All right, that's all.
Who made that sound, though?
I don't know if it was him or...
I don't know, but I need the Quaid scream in every movie now.
Oh, but it's a pig. Yeah, it sounds like a pig, doesn't it?
All right.
Yeah, we need to replace every Wilhelm scream with the Quaid scream.
I love it. You know what? Bring it on. I'm done with Wilhelm. Let's have the Quaid nut shot.
Yeah, I'm ready, because we are all done with Wilhelm, right? We all agree on that.
We are all totally done with Wilhelm.
Yeah. All right, here's another sort of famous line.
I don't want to kill you. I never did.
I'm in a room covered in foam reading these lines. Bad laugh.
That's right.
Okay.
He agrees.
Yeah.
Oh, humor.
I wondered if this might have been a jab at Bill Clinton and his "I didn't inhale, I smoked pot, but I didn't inhale" moment, which was a 90s thing. So here's this line.
I merely chewed in self-defense, but I never swallowed.
That seemed like a poke.
Also felt how do you keep that line with a straight face?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Even in 96, how do you?
Yeah.
Brian's right. All right. What's this? Oh, this you guys heard this earlier.
You should have eaten her.
Yeah, should have eaten her. No accent now, just gone. Just Dennis Quaid. All right, here's kind of a Wilhelm. It's not a Wilhelm, but it's a little bit like one. It's a little more of a...
I heard it. It was very close. It's like they reproduced it like Wilhelm 2.0 or something.
Yep.
And yeah, I there was a lot of screaming in this movie, so I was on alert.
Yeah, I was too. I was sure they were going to do a Wilhelm.
Helm-like. Yeah.
Helm-like. There you go, Wilhelm-like.
Yeah.
Wilhelm-like.
I like that. Here's Remus Lupin.
You wanted them to kill him because you wanted me dead.
All right. I got one of him in there. And then finally, I wrote, what?
Turds float.
Such a great line, dude. Just makes me want to watch Fargo again when you do that.
Yeah.
I love that show. All right. Here's this line.
Einan is dead. He lives!
What? Oh, Einan is dead. That's why I didn't understand it. Back to Randy's.
Yeah, he's not dead. Understand it either.
Yeah, his voice. That name sucks. It's not a good name.
Einan is dead. He lives.
Einan.
He lives. You ever lose your car keys?
All right. Therein lies your clips. Now this. Whoops. Shit. Now this. Nope. Now this. Nope. Yeah, this. Something I haven't said before here for the film sack checklist. I would say needed an R rating. Check. I think this movie would have been better if it was bloodier and more adult.
Absolutely. Yeah. Darker and more adult. That's yep. the Dragonheart I wanted to
see. And maybe that's too. What we get in, maybe that's what we have in Vengeance. We'll have to see.
Maybe, yeah. She's all like gray looking, like the weird alien hybrid in Alien 4.
The CGI, looking at the CGI, it doesn't look that much better than what we just watched.
I agree. A little better on the shaders, and we'll have to see her in action, I guess, like flying and shooting fire out of her nose and stuff.
Right.
That'd be great.
Did anything gross you out, by the way?
No. No, I'm trying to think. Oh, there was a puddle that Dennis Quaid decided to drink out of next to a stream.
Oh, yeah, he was washing his face in it. Right. Yeah. It was like, it was blocked off with a bunch of rocks for some reason.
Yeah, and the river had clean running water in it. The puddle looked like someone just shit in there.
Right.
And he's over there scooping it into his face. Yeah, so yes, that did gross me out.
Right.
And it was also just poor judgment on his part. Anyway, let's see. Oh, number two here. Amazing what 3D Studio Max 2.0 can do in the right hands. And finally, try and not breathe in the dragon dust. Hey, Star Trek connections. We have a few. Jason Isaacs, who played Lord Felton, was in Discovery, played Captain Gabriel Lorca in the USS Discovery.
Oh, of course he did.
He was great in that. Mm-hmm. Dina Meyer, she played Kara. She played Commander Denatra in Star Trek Nemesis, one of my favorite Star Trek movies. No one ever agrees with me.
I agree with you. That's one of my favorites.
It is
as
one
well.
Of your favorite. I agree. That is one of your favorites.
It really is.
I agree that
it's
is
not,
also one of my
it's
favorites.
It's not just because it's Tom, what's his name's first movie. It's not because I can't think of anyone's names today. It's not because of those reasons.
Right.
Just leave it at that.
Are you watching Picard?
Yes. Picard is very good. I like it a lot.
I love it.
Brian Thompson played Brock in Star Trek. He appeared in three series and one film. Two Klingons, a Dosi, and a Jem'Hadar, and a Romulan. And was one all cup. Over the place. And one cup. Oof. Yeah. That's a you should see reaction
two
videos.
Two Romulans, one cup? Yeah. What?
Reaction videos to that video is really something to watch. You gotta go see it. Soundtrack great.
Kermit,
I give it a GB.
Goes nuts.
I give it a GB for Gets By really well. I think it's very good. It's more the material does not live up to the quality of the soundtrack. I'll put it that way. Now, next up is you guys and your Twitter post. 280 characters is what you've got, and you have to sum it up. Let's start, as is the tradition, with Randy.
Dragonheart, kill some peasants, kill the Dad King, kill the man who killed the Dad King, kill a dragon, kill a bunch more peasants, kill many soldiers, kill the mom, kill the dragon, kill the Sun King, win the girl. This summary brought to you by every Anglo-Saxon fantasy film ever made.
Yeah. That's the template. Nice job. Also,
really hoping that was going to, all that great stuff was going to end with a Saturday Night at Ibbot's House.
I'm glad it didn't. Yeah. That was, it twisted it.
Always.
Made me laugh.
It can't always.
I know, but finally it was like a nice pause. Oh, good. Oh, here comes. Oh, it never came.
Yeah. He wanted
just
all
like
those,
a Saturday Night at Ibbot's House.
Yeah. He wanted all those. He wanted all those white. Oh my gosh. All right, finally, the Clam Man. Not finally, but next, the Clam Man.
It's the Clam Man.
Clam Man, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, Dragonheart. Learn the once ways of CGI from the 1990s. It's not the profit, it's the pleasure.
Nice.
Yikes.
Yeah. Nice usage of the yikes. Hashtag yikes, probably, in this post.
Hashtag yikes.
Finally, Brian Ibbot.
Dragonheart. Sean Connery is too good for this. Pete Postlethwaite is too good for this. Dennis Quaid. Dina Meyer is too good for this.
Nice.
A little shade to the Quaid. Oh, not nice.
Dennis Shade.
If there were nine people you named, you could have Dennis Quaid in the middle of the not you grid.
Yeah.
You know the not you grid? Yes. Where you're like, thank you. Not you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love the not you grid. That's good stuff. Check this out. Alternate titles just handed to me. This was almost called Dragon Nostril Party, which I think was appropriate. And but then almost The Scales of Justice. Get it? Because dragons have scales. Get it?
Yeah,
that's pretty good. All right. Hey,
look under my scales.
look at my heart. All right.
My
I have
gash.
A, I
you
have
can't
a,
see it, can you? Look at my gash. Gross.
It says, look at my clam man over there.
It's truly a gash, is what I'm saying. It's actually a gash on the track.
No, I thought you were referring to something else.
It is my least favorite colloquialism slash euphemism. I can't stand the term gash.
Oh, that term?
Gash. The term gash.
There's one
used,
that I, there's one that I can't stand, but made me laugh the first time I heard it. And, and I've never been able to get it out of my head.
Don't say axe wound. It's not axe
wound. I'm absolutely going to not say it because I can't say it, but you are correct.
Is that the one? Oh, I hate that one.
It made me laugh the first time, and I'm like, because it was so absurd.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wow, I can never say that ever.
No. No,
ever,
you can't. Ever. I can't believe I just did. Ever. All right.
I know.
Moving on. Here's an email. This is from Daryl, not our Daryl, different Daryl. He says, help, help, it's happening. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves is now streaming on Netflix. Yes. Get it while the getting is good, Sackers, says Daryl. I mean, he's right. He's right. We should.
I don't know if we could watch it this close to Dragonheart, though, could we?
We could skip.
I feel like it kind of swims in the same pool.
Move it six ahead. No more, no less.
I mean,
six
ahead. We may lose it. If we do too much, though. So if we do three, how about we do three ahead?
I'll say 4.5 and no further.
I'll meet you in the middle. I'll meet you in the middle. 4.5 Deal. We shake on it. But yeah, we got to get that in because we keep trying and then we get it and then we miss it and then it comes back. And Prince of Thieves is bad. We should watch it. We got to get in there and get it.
We'll do half of Film Sack in a British English accent and then the other half in a.
Normal. Fully willing to American go around and that path.
I'm gonna do vocal fry the whole time.
Do it. filmsack@gmail.com is where that email came to us from. If you'd like to send us emails, filmsack@gmail.com. Our next movie will be Inception, the Leonardo DiCaprio epic. I really like Inception. It's one of my favorite movies. So it probably is my favorite Christopher Nolan movies. And I like a lot of his movies, but I think this is my favorite. So I'm in.
It's going to be hard to see what we, I'm excited to see what we pull out of it. But, you know, we've done good movies before on Film Sack and admitted that they're still good.
Yep.
So
it's true.
It's now 10 years old. It's had some time to age.
Yep. And there's some genre going here, you know, that I like. I like some, I also like some, Tom Hardy. He's in there. He's good. Mm-hmm. You got your, what's her name from Canada?
Marion Cotillard.
Yeah, yeah. You got the kid everyone loves from Third Rock from the Sun. Can't think of his name.
Renamed David Michael Jason.
Yeah, David Michael, that's it.
Demi James.
Did you say Demi? Did almost, you put Demi in there?
Almost
like Demi
there.
Moore?
I didn't say Demi in there.
Oh, I thought you said Demi. That was cool.
David, I think he said David. I can't remember the kid's name.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Why would you release the name? I keep guessing.
It's got Ken Watanabe in it. He's great.
He could tell I was ready to give up.
I love that movie.
Ken Watanabe is my favorite thing in the movie. I've said it before. I'll say it
He's again. Great. There's nothing wrong with that guy. So, yeah, Inception, getting it on next week right here on Film Sack. It's on Netflix, right? Right. I believe so.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
That's going to do it for us. Filmsack.com is our website. Please visit there and get all you need there. If you're like, hey, man, where are all the old episodes? They're there. They just have their own RSS feed because it's huge and a giant nightmare for bandwidth if we put it in one feed. So that's why it's split. So you can get the new stuff on the new feed, and the old feed has all the old ones, all the way back to Krull in 2009.
Krull.
So jump on there and get it. Filmsack.com. You can also leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. An email can come to us at filmsack@gmail.com. And if you'd like to tweet us, you can. Filmsack on Twitter. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yes!
We'll see you next time.
I was totally expecting that.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I am the last one.
All right.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style?
Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.